an excellent day. It's been a very hot week, I understand. I hope that you are keeping cool. And, you know, as I thought about what Jim shared, it's very true. As I talked to a lot of different service people as well, you know, they don't treat this weekend as their weekend or as their day. Veterans Day is their day. This weekend is something that's very hard for all of them as they remember those that have been lost. And as we've already prayed this morning, I pray that you would also understand what this weekend means. You know, if you have cookouts or if you have different celebrations, understanding what you've been given. You know, and as Christians, we can understand that in a deeper way, I think. And you know, when we come to worship God on a Sunday morning, there's different things that we need. And one of those things is that we need to be prepared. Now, as we come this morning, and as we think about preparedness, I want you to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Exodus 17 and keep those on your laps if you want to follow along this morning. If not, I will have it up on the slide as well. You know, when we come prepared, you might think, well, what are we to be prepared for? It's a good question. You know, the Bible tells us to be ready at all times, to be prepared. We are to have the armor of God on. And in the armor is the shoes of readiness or the shoes of preparedness. This morning, I would like to test your preparedness a little bit. I want to give you a little test. And it's a test that can be, there can be different focal points within this test. So there's a lot of different ways that you're going to be able to find encouragement, along with hopefully taking a good look at yourself as well, and your relationship to God, your relationship to those around you. So let me describe a little bit about this test. I want you to choose something in front of you that you can hold in your hand through the service. Go ahead and find that object, whatever it is. It doesn't matter how much it weighs. It's just something that you will hold in your hand. Go ahead and do it. It's okay. There's going to be a little bit of engagement this morning. Now, as you have that, I want you to look to your left and your right. Who is beside you? If you're on an end, you're kind of lucky, but you can also look all the way to the other side and have that person that you are focusing on as well. These people are going to be your intercessors, and you are theirs. Okay? Now, what we are going to be doing is we are going to hold up whatever you chose to hold in your hand. As you are holding that thing up with your arms raised, you are interceding for that other person, and they are interceding for you. Okay? It's like you are keeping them alive with this particular intercession. Now, go ahead and do some stretches. I suggest that you do it. As you think about these types of things, you know, I like to listen to different comedians, and Tim Hawkins has a wonderful hand-raising thing, and you can employ that. You know, you can hold the TV. It can go widescreen if you want. You could do My Fish Is This Big. You can do YMCA, Goalpost, Rocky, Touchdown, combination. However you want to do it, it's up to you this morning. But the test is to intercede for those around you. All right, are we ready? Got to make sure my thing's on here. Let's begin. As they continue to hold their object, they are interceding for you. Once they drop their hands, you die. And vice versa. It's pretty high stakes, isn't it? How are we feeling so far? I mean, how many of you are all ready to give up? How many of you think this is silly and you didn't want to do it in the first place? Hold out for as long as you can, because your intercession is what is keeping the other person going. Okay? Now, if you were not told that the other person is what is keeping you going, is what you need to keep focused on with your strength, what would you look to in your life? What is the central point in your life to keep you going? We look to many things for direction, for validation, for affirmation, for guidance, for answers in this life. So much of what we do depends on the influence of others. As Christians, we need to keep our focus where it's supposed to be, and that is on Jesus. He is the centrality of our faith, and everything we do must be based on that centrality. If your hands are still up, press on. Let's read our passage this morning. I don't have the clicker, so you gotta drop your hand just for a moment. Just go to the next slide. There we go. All right, so Exodus 17 says this, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek with Moses, Aaron, and Hur. They went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword." I got it. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, 'The Lord is my banner,' saying, 'A hand upon the throne of the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" Father, I want to thank you for this message today. I want to thank you for your word. I pray that you would give us strength. Lord, help us to intercede for one another and teach us what this means. And may we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, a lot of hands are still up. It's all right. If you get tired, you get tired. I understand. So we see this account here at Rephidim. It wasn't an excuse just to put your hands down. But we see this account here at Rephidim. It's the first battle of the newly freed Israelites. All right, firsts, they're usually scary, but when you think about battle, you know, the Israelites, they're not trained soldiers, they're laborers, right? They've been laborers for 400 years, but here they're going into battle. You know, battle, it's bloody, it's chaotic, it's gory. You know, you have this self-preservation that can kick in where it's kill or be killed. It's not necessarily a nice thing to be around. You know, you would also have people that were giving you orders, that were giving you instructions, interceding on your behalf in your mission to guide you. You know, going into battle, it wasn't this lone wolf idea. There weren't a lot of mercenaries in battle. It was a joint effort to achieve victory. But everybody had to do their part. Now, even though this is the first of many upcoming battles for the Israelites, we see the significance that's being placed on a certain intercessor, Moses. He's holding his staff, the staff of God, in his raised arms, right? And if his arms lowered, they began to get pushed back. If his arms were raised, they pushed forward. They advanced towards victory. Aaron and Hur aided Moses by sitting alongside of him, helping his hands, stay in the air. I tried to recruit Aaron and Hur in the form of Noah and Micah, and they didn't want to do that this morning. So I'm kind of on my own, just kind of. But you know, through these actions, the Israelites attained victory, right? But Moses understood the reason for this victory. It was because of the Lord. And he builds this altar to declare that the Lord is my banner. Other translations can say that he is my signal, he is my ensign, he is my standard. Jehovah Nissi is our Hebrew term this morning, and it points us to the understanding of a battle flag, right? Battle flags would have various meanings in the past. We don't use flags as much anymore. We use signs, we use gestures, we use hand motions, we use different ways to communicate all the time. In the times of battle and war, a flag was a rallying point for the soldiers. It was a sense of hope. It was a sense of encouragement to press forward, to continue on with the mission. I think back to the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Near the end, he has his enemy in sights for revenge. But during the Revolutionary War, the line is also failing. People are starting to retreat, and he has a decision to make. He decides to run and grab the flag and run forward, telling people not to retreat, rather to hold the line. It emboldens the retreating soldiers, and they carry forward with their mission. A flag represented a lot, because it would tell the people that the war is not lost because the flag still waves. See, banners would communicate different orders as well. There would be different movements within the banner. There'd be different colors that would signify to retreat. They would signify to advance, to flank, among other orders. The banners would also have emblems on it. The emblems would determine who the flag belonged to. We look at the Christian flag. Christian flag that we have here is white in color, representing the purity. The blue represents our faithfulness to Christ through baptism. The red represents the blood of Christ on the cross. And the gold trim along flags designate military-type flags. See, a flag would hold a lot of history behind it. The emblems would bring out different past events for the people, to bring encouragement, to bring hope, to bring trust and confidence in what is going on. Now, as we look at our passage, we see Moses here, and he's holding the staff of God in his hands. Moses and the staff of God were instruments that were frequently associated with the works of God, with the actions of God moving within the Israelites and their history. They were like emblems to them. They had the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. They had the staff was also used to help part the waters of the Red Sea as they escaped their enemies. Moses changed the water from bitter to sweet at Marah with the added promise, you know, if the Israelites obeyed the commands of God and the statutes, then they would have their health. If they didn't, then all the plagues would strike them. Manna was sent from heaven so that the people would know that they had to depend on God for food. Just before this account here in Exodus 17, Moses strikes the rock with the staff, providing water. So now here we are again. Israel's looking for the help in the form of victory at Rephidim. You know, these instruments present, they present the Israelites with the wonderful deeds of God. Okay, they've been witnessed by the people. And the people make this link to these instruments showing how they need to have dependence on God for whatever it is that they need. He was showing up for his people. So Moses' lifted hands symbolized the power of Yahweh upon the fighting men of Israel. Moses' upraised hands also showed that he was engaged in intercessory prayer for the people. There's quite a few of you that are still holding out, that are still interceding for those around you. You know, as a man, Moses interceded for the Israelites. You know, as he raises his hands, they're winning. You know, there's some sort of miraculous power that's associated with this action because of this intercession. Aaron and Hur recognize this. They help him on either side keep his arms raised. This tells us a lot about prayer. You know, the effectiveness of prayer we should understand, right? But many times our prayer life is a last resort type of thing. Many times we don't put the emphasis on it the way that we should. You know, prayer is this communion with God. It should be the first thing that we're going to. And we should never belittle or look down upon intercessory prayer, lifting up our brothers and sisters to Christ. We have the power to intercede to the Father on the behalf of others. Moses interceded for the people. That brought about victory. Jesus, in the same way, interceded for the world, and that brought about victory. Today, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you to the Father. Jesus intercedes to you as he sits on the throne at the right hand of God. You know, what do we look to in this world today for guidance, for answers, for intercession? What gives us hope and encouragement to press on? Many people in our world are lost. They're confused. They're turning any which way to find hope, to find meaning. Where do we turn? What is our banner? What is our rallying point? I mean, we come to the church. Many people go to the church for answers. Is our rallying point Harvest Alliance Church? There's many different instruments that are used. You know, you had Moses and you had the staff. Do you look to me as a rallying point for guidance, for answers? See, it's a trap that many pastors and churches can fall into. You should not be following me as a person. You should only follow me as I am following Christ. Paul tells us that. We have to understand that Christ is our ultimate banner. You know, because I'm human, I'm going to fail in my works, I'm going to let people down. I'm not going to measure up to the perfect standards that Christ has. But God will still use me as an instrument of grace, to intercede on your behalf, to give you guidance, to give you direction, to shepherd the flock. But it is not me that you need to be focused on. Rather, it is Christ. And we see this in our passage this morning as well. Moses is ordered to write down everything that happens for Joshua's sake. He writes it down for the sake of the people to come after as well. See, there's many instruments that can take the place of the banner within this account today. It could be Moses. It could be the staff. It could be Aaron and Hur holding the arms up. It could be the people that are actually out fighting the battle. A lot of credit can be given in many different ways. But Moses builds an altar and calls it, "The Lord is my banner." There's a lot of moving parts in a church body. There's a lot of places, a lot of people that can get credit for how a Sunday morning happens. There's a lot of reasons that people come to church, whether it's for the worship, whether it's because of the pastor, whether it's because of the building, because of the service. There's a lot of different things that can get credit for hope, for encouragement in our life. But we need to be focused to know that it is only through Christ. He is the central point of all that we do inside and outside of these walls. Isaiah 11:10 says this, "In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." The term signal here is the same term in Hebrew for banner. This is a prophecy that Jesus will stand as the banner for the nations. You know, his banner that we symbolize, that we celebrate, is the cross, right? Just like Moses, Jesus' arms were outstretched, interceding for the world, interceding for his people. He is our ultimate banner. He is our rallying point. He is our intercessor, our hope and encouragement to win the battle. We look to him for our commands and orders because that's where our dependence lies. as Christians, we need to understand that we're in a battle. Just like the Israelites, the battle is for our souls and the souls of those around us. Are we looking to Christ as our banner for our commands? Do we have the armor equipped? Is the sword of truth in our hands to fight the enemy? Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It is the world system. It is the flesh. It is Satan. And we are in a bloody battle right now. How many of our brothers and sisters are being injured? Look around to your right and left. Do you know how to intervene and intercede for those around us? Is our bond so strong that we know what we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters? Are we intervening for them as if we are holding their bloody, broken bodies in our arms? Is that the family that we have? Do we see who is struggling? You know, I've trained for 1 week for this object lesson, and it hurts. I'm surprised there's so many of you that are still having a hand up. That's awesome. That's encouraging me to continue on. I got to stretch a little bit here. But, you know, if you weren't able to hold your hands up, don't be discouraged by that. You know, sometimes people can get discouraged because, oh, I'm older, I can't do things for the church. You can always intercede. You can always fight for others on their behalf to draw them closer to Christ. Jesus was in agony as he prayed in the garden. He prepared most of his life for the cross. As we do this, in every situation, our dependence and our strength isn't on ourselves, but it's only in Christ. And we have to give these types of things over to God in order to glorify him in a way that we depend on him for our strength to carry through. He is the central figure of our faith, not all the instruments that we use, not all the things of the service, but only Jesus. It's only got to be about him. You know, and what's been done by him, it's been written down for us as memorial to be recited in our ears. We have the word of God to praise him, to know that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he will come again in victory, and we await that time patiently, but we need to be prepared for it. In both of our bodies and our minds. Interceding for those on our right and our left. Making sure they're keeping in step with the Spirit. Making sure they're living by the Spirit. Understanding that his victory is coming. Looking to our banner for the commands and directions as our rallying point. To encourage us, to give us hope. So that we can spread that to those around us in the church. And then give that hope to those that need it, that are lost and confused in this world. Knowing that we have somebody interceding for us on our behalf gives us hope. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, I want to thank you for the strength that you have given each one of us. Lord, you have gifted us in many different ways, and you use us as instruments, Lord, for your glory. I pray, Lord, that you would just raise this body up, that we'd be filled with your Spirit and with your truth, and that we can take that to the ends of the earth. But Lord, let us not forget the steps in between the ends of the earth, our neighbors, our families, our workplaces. And let us not neglect our own relationship with you. Lord, help us to know personally and individually where our dependence must lie, who our banner is, and may we give you the glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great job.